This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Icon Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia,
Justine Hughes,
and Augie Angersano,
as we break open the Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influencers, Father Rob Gallia Homilies.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 9 of the Catholic Influencers podcast. We're beyond the halfway mark of the marathon.
Yes.
We're running and the finish line is in sight.
Still a few weeks away. There's still plenty of good Catholic Influencers goodness coming your way.
I jumped the gun a bit.
And we're still in the Easter season. Do you know the Easter season is after ordinary time, it's the longest season in the church, right? Am I wrong?
I think you're right.
How many days of Easter?
50.
50 days, yeah.
That's longer than Lent.
Longer than Lent. Yeah, so Lent is 40 days and Easter is 50 days. So happy Easter. You're still in Easter.
Happy Easter.
We know how to party. A 50-day long Easter party.
Yes, it's called Pentecost.
No, that's the birthday party at the end.
We have this is one thing I do every Easter. I try and make time for a retreat. In fact, I'm tomorrow heading off on a silent retreat for 7 days. So,
incredible.
Yeah, I do a silent retreat every year. Sometimes 1 year we do it with the priests, all the priests, and then the next year we're left alone and we have to do our own retreat. And it's always, I always choose silence. I just enjoy the silence. But I am a bit reluctant, you know, to let go. Like I even tell my staff, my team, contact me, speak if you have anything. So I'll check my phone in the evening. Partly it's because it's difficult to switch off, but partly also I feel like it's also letting go of responsibilities. Yep. It's so hard, really hard.
Well, I'll definitely make sure that I do not contact you.
No, you can. No, I'll be there. If no one contacts me, then I'll feel like, what did I do wrong? Why is no one talking to me?
Where are my friends?
Where are my friends? This one email a week. But that's good. It's so important for us to find time for stillness. I mean, do you find much stillness? Like, do you make time for stillness? Like once a year? Do you?
Hey, I used to. A few years ago, I think one of the first times. Oh, no, we met at university. But a couple of times we have shared that retreat together. It's a very, a few days away in the summer. No reception, which was very difficult. But once you kind of like surrender to it, it's actually really amazing. And I always find after I do have those times of retreat, just coming back super motivated for life, like just on top of the world.
I find short retreats really difficult. So if you told me to be quiet for 3 days, I'd find it so difficult. But I need at least 5 to 8 days of silence. I've done like 2 30-day silent retreats. Those are really hard. It's easy the first 3 days are horrible. Then it gets easy for about another 15, 20 days. But then it becomes so difficult. Mm. Like it's almost like crazy difficult. But I think God speaks in the silence. So I'm looking forward to this anyway. So in the silence of our own hearts, let's pray a prayer. Let's ask the Lord to still our hearts. And then we'll hear from our sponsors and then we'll have the gospel. Let's turn our hearts to the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we thank you that you have caught our hearts and our minds captive for whatever reason. And that we've tuned in today to this podcast. God, no time for you is wasted, and you use every little moment with us to speak your truth. So I pray that for all those listening just in this time right now, that you would attune our hearts to you to receive your word, your truth that you want to speak to us today. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's hear from our sponsors.
Icon Ministry wants to reach out to the Alpha Generation. Introducing MetaSaint, a revolutionary project where the hope and love of Christ meet the Metaverse generation. Did you know that the Roblox platform transcends mere gaming? It's a bustling digital universe with over 70 million users a day. This is an incredible opportunity to share the gospel with young people. Do your children or grandchildren play Roblox? Tell them to start playing MetaSaint, where they will have an interactive experience of the gospel like never before. As we pioneer this exciting new frontier of connection and community, we invite you to help us in this groundbreaking mission, our biggest project yet, to ensure the digital spaces can become a place where all can encounter the transformative power of Christ. Together, let's bring the gospel to the metaverse. Visit metasaint.com to learn more. So as we said earlier, we are still in the Easter season, and this Sunday is the sixth Sunday of Easter. And this week's gospel is from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other.
I find it interesting how Jesus takes love as something that is taught, something you teach. He starts with the example of love. I've learned sort of how to love from my Father. Mm. I've received the love of my Father. So because I've been loved, now I love you. Now you, because of the love you have from me, now you go and love others. It's amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but when I was growing up, we had two dogs. Both of them were stray. And one of them we found as a puppy, and he was a really friendly and loving and sweet dog, and it was brought up in love, and he used to play, and he was protective of us, my brother, my sister. But then we found another dog, which was badly beaten. When we found him, he was much older, and his muscles were like jelly. He was beaten so badly. But he was suspicious all the time. He was always cautious when we approached him. He was always angry, to the point where my parents wouldn't allow my brother, who was younger, around him. And eventually he started to relax and to be more loving and to be more caring as he hung out, not with us, but with the other dog that was so trusting and loving. And so it is amazing how the human nature, animal nature, is that we learn to love by witnessing love, by being loved. And God knows, Jesus knows our nature. And this is why he asks us to spend time with love, to spend time with him, Jesus, who is love personified.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in order for us to be able to love one another, we first need to experience God's love for us. And this communion with Jesus is essential in order for us to live out this command of loving one another, as Jesus has asked us to do. We know this is the foundation of the Christian life. It seems really simple, but sometimes it can be really difficult because of our selfish and prideful nature. And we see Jesus's act of self-giving, this great love in its most beautiful form in Jesus's act on the cross. And this is the same love and service that Jesus calls us to. But again, we can't do this without God. So it's essential that we remain connected, remain in the vine, as we spoke about last week, and be ready, willing to be pruned by the Father, because this connection with Jesus enables us to fully live out this command.
I know I've said it, or we've probably spoken about it in the past, but just always mindful that God's economy of love is not like ours. It is on a completely different level. And I think the line that really drives this home for me is when Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And the thing about that is that God is really putting himself out on the line. Like, he's choosing us, but risking us not choosing him back. you know, when you're the first one to make the move, I guess for a really poor analogy would be on a date. It's such a risk if you're a guy, you don't know if the girl likes you, but you think she might, but you're not sure. And, you know, it takes so much courage to ask her out. Why? Because there's a risk that she might reject you or the other way around. Well, on a whole other level, again, a stretch of an analogy, but this is what God does, and yet he still chooses us. And what makes this more profound is that his love for us is not actually dependent on us choosing him back. Like, he will still choose us. He will still love us, even if we don't choose him back. And I think for me, that's like, whoa, this is on a whole other level. Because we know what temporary love, human love feels like. We know what transactional love feels like. We know what our experience of love on this earth feels like. And God's is just sits outside of that. It's bigger than that. And I think this is the gift. This is the gift, the one of many gifts God gives us, that he will never take it back no matter what. Yes.
But, you know, you were saying that this is a far-fetched analogy or whatever you use there. But at the same time, it's not. It really isn't, because this is the analogy Jesus uses in the first place. It's a romantic analogy. He's saying, I chose you, as in a sense, like a groom chooses a bride. So it is very similar to that. It is that analogy. And God allows us to fall in love and to pursue the ones we love simply because we have been pursued, right? Mm-hmm. And even though that this might seem far-fetched, but it's so much in our human reality. A lot of our ordinary human reality is a reflection of God's extraordinary pursuit of us. Mm. The way we seek things of this world, from intimacy to companionship, to comfort, to warmth. This is, it might seem base, but at the end of the day, it's all a search for God. It's all, and it's all something so beautiful and so generous when it comes to God. Just, I love the analogy of God chasing after us. Like he's just perseverance. I don't know if you ever, I watch movies like the old Italian classic movies, you know, and they're sitting down and they're trying to pursue the girl they like, and the girl won't have anything, but the next day he's trying again and trying again. Today probably this would be sort of harassment, yeah. Considered harassment.
Anyone watch The Notebook? I feel yeah. like that's what's coming to mind for
oh, okay.
me.
So,
I've actually never seen that, but
I'll watch it.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, please go ahead. But this is how God, he doesn't give up. He's relentless. We would probably sort of get offended by God's pursuit of us and be upset by it. How dare he? I said no already. Why are you still chasing after me? But that's God's love, because he knows our greatest freedom, our greatest joy, our greatest capacity to love, our greatest ability to have life that is peaceful is when we are in a relationship with God. And this is why God is perseverant in his love for us. One, because he wants us for himself. But two, he knows that we won't be satisfied, fulfilled, until we say yes to him.
I think this gospel mentions a lot the word friendship and the fact that the relationship that Jesus has with his disciples as his friends. When I think of, you know, the relationships that I have with my own friends, I instantly think of this deep, this personal connection. And again, in this gospel, there's a contrast between two different relationships. So the relationship between a master and a slave, and the relationship between the master / teacher, Jesus, and his friends. So with the master and the slave, commands are given and they're obeyed on the basis of the master's authority. It's often backed by force. Maybe we respond in fear as well. But with this relationship between master and friends, this is the context that Jesus issues this command of loving one another in. Friends, we do good things for each other simply because of that friendship relationship that we have with each other. Again, I think of my own friendships. I'm more than happy to do good things or the things that my friends ask of me simply because of the fact that we are friends and we share this connection. So the disciples are called to love one another because this is what their friend Jesus has done for them and asks for them. And right back, the visible sign of the disciples' love for one another and the disciples' love for Jesus being their friends is their obedience to that command.
And I think of friendship as well. You have to understand that Jesus wasn't talking about, hey, mates, buddies, friends. He was talking about people who had access. Friends was someone you would invite to the table. Now, the table is different today. Today, you have forks and knives. You sit around the table. You can meet people who you've met for the first time at the table. But in the time of Jesus, it wasn't so. You only shared a meal with those you knew well, intimately in a sense, because you're literally drinking of the same cup. Yeah, and this is one of the things as well, drinking of the same cup. I might be deterring as well. When we, in the Eucharist, you know, why do we share of the same cup? The idea of the cup was between, this was a romantic gesture, actually it was, that they would sit down at the table, the groom who was pursuing the bride, who was pursuing someone, would drink from the chalice and then hand it to the bride, or hand it to the one he was pursuing. If she drank, that means she said yes. That was a proposal. That was the yes. Otherwise, she'd just leave he wouldn't give it to her. He'd put it in front of her. And if she picked it up and drank from the same cup, that means, yes, I'm ready to pursue this relationship. Wow. Now, think of the Last Supper as well. Jesus passed around the chalice, and people had a choice. All of the disciples had a choice. But even in that choice, we can choose to reject God. Judas drank from that chalice. He still drank. He said yes to God, but he was like that servant who says yes and then goes out to do something else. And this, again, is what Jesus is saying about friends. He's saying, I call you friends. I'm calling you someone I invite to the table, to the Eucharistic table, someone I'm offering the chalice. I call you to be friends, but it's up to you to accept this invitation of my friendship. Drink from the same cup. But when you're drinking from the same cup, then you're going to live life with me. You're going to have the joys that I have, but you're also going to drink from the cup of my suffering as well. Which is crazy. There we're going to Eucharistic theology. But
hey, my dating analogy wasn't way off. But I think I think you've just touched on a really good point, because it's obviously just awesome, like in the greatest sense of the word, awesome, this love that God has for us. But if we choose to drink from that cup, there comes with it this call, this appointment that he says to bear fruit that will last. This call in this scripture that he says to love each other as I have loved you. That sacrifice is this undercurrent that's always there. You cannot avoid it. To be fully immersed in the love of God is to be fully immersed in the reality of this, which is good and beautiful, but also requires sacrifice. And so for me, that's a really big challenge of this scripture, because I am selfish. I don't like making sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And goodness me, if you ever want to discover your flaws, get married. And, you know, in the best possible way, it is refining me, because bubbling to the surface, I'm seeing, goodness, like, I don't know how to love like Jesus. Jesus, teach me how to not be afraid to make sacrifice. Teach me that this life isn't about me. Teach me how to put myself second, because I want to push myself first. I want to make my life about me. But, you know, if we fully drink from that cup, I think that's a great, you know, and we do that every weekend. Well, we don't drink from the chalice, but when we receive the Eucharist, we say, amen. We're saying, yes, I'm choosing to share in this.
But how beautiful, like you're mentioning of marriage, Alyssa, you could say as well, like, but isn't that what makes a marriage a pathway to holiness?
Absolutely.
That you realize, you, like you said, get married and then you realize how, or go to the seminary for 7 years, 8 years and realize, but I even more so in marriage, you know, like, can you imagine how your imperfections and how your superficiality or even hypocrisy or even, you know, like I imagine these pastors, look, priests, I can go and I preach and I have poetic license, but if I'm married, I have to worry about what my wife would think about what I'm saying. There's that like accountability with every word, with every conversation, with every, the eye roll, if there's an eye roll, you know, whatever. But I think that's so beautiful though.
Feel beautiful.
No, it doesn't. But holiness.
But that's the point. The love that God has for us isn't pure feeling. It's a reality, and there's a fullness of a reality that comes with that. So, not to like talk about marriage for too long, but I find this beautifully challenging, and it's great. It's great to lean on Scripture when I find things hard. All right, God, I'm going to lean in, because I know you're asking a lot of me, and I know it's hurting because it's something you're asking me to do, and it's something great that will bear fruit that will last. But yeah, it's a challenge.
Amazing. And I was just going to say, even in any vocation, I think these vocations give us the framework to be able to learn how to love one another as Jesus commands us to do. Now, one way of going out into the world and loving one another is to sometimes go into dark places, perhaps places where Jesus maybe sometimes isn't, and bring Jesus there. And this is what our guest on this week's podcast is all about, and doing this in a pretty amazing way. Coming up after this ad from our sponsors is an interview between Augie and Father Sam French.
In the heart of our ministry lies the generosity of our ICON ministry partners and donors. It's because of you that our online masses, courses, podcasts, TV programs, school, youth, and parish outreach efforts extend their reach to millions of people worldwide. Your ongoing support allows us to spread the love of Jesus and his message of hope far and wide. Please prayerfully consider joining us in this mission, whether through a one-time donation or as an ongoing ministry partner. Your contribution makes a world of difference. Together, let's illuminate every corner of the earth with his love. Visit iconministry.com/support to learn more. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Catholic Influencers Podcast. I'm really excited for the guest that we have for this episode, Father Sam French, who is currently zooming in through Sydney. He's just an amazing content creator, an amazing priest, and the first time I'm meeting him. So I'm really excited to meet him with you guys. So Father Sam, welcome to the Catholic Influencers Podcast.
Thanks very much, Augie. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be here. So thanks for inviting me on. I'm looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, absolutely. The first question I wanted to ask you, primarily because, the position I'm in, I'm working with Father Rob and we're building ICON Ministries. But on top of that, I'm watching your content and I'm seeing your journey and I'm watching just a wide array of people connecting with what you are just putting out there into the world and just boldly proclaiming your faith, proclaiming your vocation. And I just wanted to ask you, why do you think there's such a strong gravitational pull when we see priests, particularly in this question, just really being relatable and meeting people where they're at and preaching the gospel in new and exciting ways, which I really feel is like what you do. You almost preach the gospel via meme and it's awesome. Like it's so witty, like the cleverness and everything. It's so great. And so, why do you think there's such a strong pull towards that right now?
Look, I think it's actually something that I've been reflecting on, because this whole social media thing has come on for me quite organically. It wasn't something that I put a lot of thought in beforehand. It was something that just kind of took off, and I've been thinking about it and praying about it and understanding it as I go along. And so I've actually been reflecting a little bit on that question. And I think what I've noticed in the online space, particularly social media and my kind of main platforms, Instagram and TikTok, I think it just boils down to the simple reality that every single person yearns for God. Everyone has a thirst deep within them for God. And I was just going through the catechism, and there's this beautiful quote in Article 27. It says, "The desire for God is written on the human heart because mankind is created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw man to himself. Only in God will he find the truth and the happiness that he never stops searching for." And I think that is just, it's the default setting in every human heart, but I think it can be lost a little bit, especially in a society where so many young people are being starved for meaning because they are saturated with so much content that it's very appealing to kind of the senses and like the immediate kind of desire for pleasure and satisfaction, I suppose, but it's missing the depth for which the human heart was made. And I think so many young people have a particular thirst for God, and they don't even realize it. And that's why I think when they see a priest engaging on social media, they see, in some sense, an icon of what their heart is searching for. They see an icon, and the response is often, I think, mixed, because when if you're a young person and you're engaging in the world and you're not particularly churched or have heard the gospel, you're kind of skating along on on a shallow level. Like you're just kind of consuming content, trying to find meaning, but not really, but it's just kind of not satisfying the deepest yearnings of the human soul. But when they see a priest, especially someone who is kind of publicly wearing the collar or doing things in like Bob does as well, I think they see an image of someone who is engaging with the spiritual realm. And I'm keeping it general because I think that's kind of the experience of so many young people. They see someone who is not just engaged with the immediate world around them, but someone who has staked their life on the infinite, on the spiritual realm. And I think that draws them in. And the response is either to get scared by that and to reject it, to deride it, to ridicule it and turn away, or for others who I think the Holy Spirit has prepared, it brings them, it kind of either excites them or at least arouses the curiosity that they click into that and they want to see more of that kind of content because it's starting to, I suppose, resonate with something that is already deep inside them and put there by God. So that's what I think is going on.
Yeah. I wrestle a lot with, you know, creating a lot of, I create a lot of content by choice and by paycheck. And the kind of thing that I've been wrestling with personally is I don't entirely like what TikTok style content, real style content has really done for me personally.
Yeah.
Like it just has made, I don't know. I've just found myself reaching for my phone and just being addicted way more than I really wanted to be personal. And so, you know, I wrestle with that creation, with creating that content, but then there's also this calling of we got to bring Jesus to all corners of, you know, of the earth. And so it's like, man, well, how do you grab the heart when someone has the attention span of like 1 minute, like 30 seconds, yeah. And it's just like quickly bring that, you know, the news to them. And I think seeing that, like a priest is just such a strong figure to see, and especially seeing a priest that's like, just it just has like the fruit of the spirit, like mainly joy, just like joy of just like I'm living out this calling, and it's just it means so much to me and it brings me so much life. I think that's really powerful. Another thing I wanted to ask, because I'm secretly just a huge fan of comedy. I just love humor. I love everything funny. I try to make every situation funny, which gets me in trouble a lot, but I really appreciate people who bring humor into, you know, like just into preaching, representing the gospel, stuff like that. I feel like some of the best speakers that I've heard, people who have really like struck a chord with me in my heart, they made me like laugh really hard for the first 15, 20 minutes. And then they spoke truth at the same time. And then it resonated. How important do you think humor, or I don't know, like how do you use humor, I suppose, to win souls? I wish I could word that better. How do you?
No, look, it's a great way of asking it, I suppose. Look, yeah. I think humor is really, really helpful because it helps you engage with someone at the human level. It's the quickest way to kind of build up a bond of fraternity with someone else because, you know, you're showing them. Oftentimes in humor, you're poking fun at yourself a little bit, and you're showing some vulnerability as well as just what you were saying before. Like it represents the joy that is in you. If you can actually have a joyful outlook on the world, it demonstrates in a very organic way that the Holy Spirit is alive and active in you. And I think that's where the humor kind of really helps. Now, I wouldn't consider myself like a comedian innately, but I'm someone who I'm definitely a strong appreciator of humor. So when I see it, I love it. And so in terms of like my own ministry and it's actually not a ministry in a sense because I'm not really appointed to do it. It's my Monday hobby. Mondays are really the only time I have to do any of this social media stuff. And so it's kind of limited to that part of my life and my week.
Yeah, yeah.
But when people ask me how I do it, I basically say I baptize trends. I go online, I find things that already have some kind of cultural capital and recognition, and I Catholify them. I find a way of kind of just injecting the church, the gospel, our Lord into that piece of humor. And so I think the classic one, and I think probably my most viewed video is the classic, you know, I'm an X, of course I, Y. And like, that's the, and I saw that and I was like, well, this is just, you know, begging to be turned into Catholic. And given that I'm a Catholic priest and, I'm young, or at least I look young, it's, there's a certain kind of, novelty there that people are going to. So, I think the point of my ministry is I can point to Jesus. I can't, it frustrates me sometimes that I just can't proclaim the gospel outright. Realize exactly as you were saying before, there's something really terrible about social media and what it's doing to society. And if you actually looked up my name 12 months ago, I've written all kinds of articles about why you should ditch your phone, why social media is evil. And the thing is, I still basically believe all of those things. I think social media is a net negative on society, but it doesn't change the fact that that is where young people are. And that is where young people need to be encountered. And that's where they need to meet the Lord. So we need to have strict boundaries for ourselves and how we engage. But at the same time, when we do go on there, it has to be with a particular intent. And so I think that's the way that I kind of organically went at it. But on reflection, I realize it's a little bit like St. Paul in Acts 17, when he's in Athens and he goes into the Areopagus and he walks in and it says that his spirit was troubled because of all of the idolatry in that place. And I think that's like when you go on social media as a Christian, where we're troubled by all the idolatry, all of this kind of, you know, obsession with beauty and pleasure and the ego and materialism and consumerism. There's all of this idolatry going around, but that's precisely the place where we need to bring our Lord and the gospel. And so St. Paul walks into the Areopagus. He looks around and he sees the idol that has been dedicated to the unknown God. And he says, he baptizes the trend, so to say. He sees it and he's like, take that unknown God and that is the one true God. All of these other ones that you're bowing down to, they're nothing. This is the God in whom you live and move and have your being. And the funny thing was that I find about that passage is it wasn't particularly effective because of so much idolatry in the place. It wasn't like there weren't thousands of people that followed him. All of them kind of laughed at him, which is what happens to us on social media. We get laughed at, we get derided. I cannot tell you the amount of hate comments I get. It's
really,
there's all of that derision. However, it says at the end of that chapter in scripture, but some believed in him and began to follow. And so, and it is for those people that St. Paul went to Athens. And I think it's for those people that we engage on social media as well. So that's kind of my approach to it all. It's to get on there, recognize that it's a dangerous place, but to baptize trends and draw out from that some disciples. And I've got countless screenshots of people who, for all kinds of reasons, have seen a funny video that I've done and have converted, just straight converted to Catholicism. And it's like,
wow,
when the effects drastically outweigh the effort put in, it's obviously a movement of the spirit.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's so good. And I love it how you don't reinvent the wheel, you just Catholicize it. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
that's so good. And I mean, also not to just like, you know, I know you're not reinventing the wheel, but you also you're a very good writer, and you're also really good at it. just as another extra compliment of you know, watching your content, there's a reason why so many people are resonating. Last question. I saw you playing Zelda on IG Live a few nights back, and I just wanted to ask. You know, I could see you're kind of a calculated guy, especially with your online social media.
Yeah.
What was your thinking behind playing Zelda on IG Live?
Okay, so look, let's call that that's like at the fringe of my ministry. It's an area of experimentation for me.
Yeah.
It's not something that I've had heaps of time to invest in. However, the reason to answer your question directly, the reason is because I know there is huge potential there. And the reason for that is because I've already encountered that before I did anything on social media. So during the first lockdown with COVID a few years ago, I was a seminarian. I wasn't yet ordained. And it was during that time that I was at home. I was at my family home for a while over the holidays. And I jumped onto my brother's Nintendo Switch and started just playing Mario Kart. And while I was on there, I turned on like the chat feature, and I had people there. And all of a sudden, I'm encountering all of these people from across the world. And what I started to realize that there was a trend of, there was so many people that I was encountering who were really, really struggling, and who and I don't know why they seem to be concentrated on the chats that I was on, but there was so many people who were suffering with mental illness, with huge anxiety, huge depression, all kinds of like messed up life situations. And I'm just on there playing Mario Kart, and I just start, you know, witnessing to these people. You know, like we're just talking casually, like, what do you do? And then I'm like, oh, I'm a seminarian, and I'm getting ordained a deacon next month. I'm like, oh, what's that? And it's like, well, you know, just describing to them my vocation and my call from God and my desire to serve the Lord in ministry. And people, some are like reacting against it. But there was this one mum, I remember she was a single mum from Texas, and she really struggled. She had three kids who were going to school. She would get up in the morning at 4 a.m., play an hour of video games just to decompress, get the kids ready for school, take them to school, and then she worked on a farm on her own, like all day. And all of a sudden, we get into this huge conversation about theology of the body. And I'm talking about like the nuptial meaning of the body and like the dignity of the human person and self-giving love and all of this kind of stuff. Wow. And then these other guys jump on the chat and like, well, you know, I can't repeat what they said, but you know, what is all this about? And then she's just be quiet, shut up. I'm trying to listen. Like, this is really good. And I actually built these friendships on this like video game chat room where people were hearing the gospel basically for the first time. And so I thought, well, if it happened then, it's something that I might be able to recreate now. But the problem is now as a priest, I don't have that luxury of time. So it's not me, I hope someone else begins to really engage in that space. And that's right.
If I can get paid to play video games, I volunteer as tribute.
Yeah, absolutely. It wouldn't be bad for me as well. But for me, it's not getting paid. It's like,
no, people, I know.
You could do it on ministry time.
Of course, I'm here just to bring, you were bringing it to like a massive, incredible community and spiritual level, and I just brought it down to a super material level.
Oh, well, look, if I can somehow incorporate that into my vocations ministry, then, you know, so be it.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's kind of the same heart behind the MetaSaint project that we're going to be, well, that's going to be rolling out next week as we're recording this. And so it's going to be, you know, I guess seeing the heart behind that game of, you know, Father Rob, you know, looking around and seeing where's like the younger generation, like where are they hanging out? You know, looking at you know, the preteens kind of, you know, it's like, okay, we got young adults, we got the kids ministry, but like where are like the forming teenagers and stuff like that? Where are they? And they just found that, you know, like 70 million users a day on Roblox. And so Roblox, you know, like it's not endorsing playing, you know, hey, everybody jump on Roblox and play video games, but it's like, man, we're called to bring the gospel to new places and in innovative ways. Yeah. And so, you know, I love the Holy Spirit. I love his creative spirit, and I love what the church is doing. Well, anyways, thank you, Father Sam, so much for jumping on the podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks so much, Augie. It's been a pleasure and privilege, and I hope we can do it again sometime.
What an awesome outreach to be able to speak the age-old gospel in a language that people can take, that can embrace, and in the new media, new means. Again, I'm so grateful for Father Sam, a good friend of mine as well, a great inspiration, but also pray for him as well, because when you're on social media, when you're in the public eye, you get a lot of criticism, you get a lot of attacks as well. So we pray for him, and we pray for also his ministry and for the gift of holiness in his life. One of the outreaches that we have as well as a ministry going into the darkness, going into new places, places is MetaSaint. I don't know if you've heard about this, but if you haven't, check it out. Go to metasaint.com. This is a video game that we are utilizing to preach the gospel to the Alpha generation. If you're able to support this ministry and the Icon ministry as a whole, please pray about this. Consider supporting us and becoming maybe a ministry partner or donating to this ministry. We are totally dependent. We're a charity and totally dependent on the generosity of people. So you can go to iconministry.com/support.
And make sure you keep praying for us as well. With MetaSaint, we launched MetaSaint on the week of Holy Week. And within the first 4 days, we've had over 400,000 plays. This is coming to young people who perhaps have never heard the gospel before. And so your prayers and your support are doing something amazing. So definitely keep it coming. If you're enjoying this podcast, please follow us on social media for all the latest updates. You can also get a shorter reflection with Father Rob's homilies every single Sunday. So you get the long version with us, the shorter version with Father Rob. Those podcasts come out every Sunday as well. Catholic Influences, Father Rob Gallia homilies. All those links are at our website, catholicinfluencerspodcast.com. And
also we have online mass as well. For those of you who are unable to get to mass on Sunday, you can go to iconministry.com/mass.
That's right.
Pilgrimage.
We are going on pilgrimage. We are going in the footsteps of St. Paul, Italy, Greece, Malta, all the places where Paul wrote his letters to. Very exciting.
If you go, keep an eye out for my aunties. I'm sure they'll host you in Malta. Maybe they can host the final destination party.
Hopefully you'll see us all there. Hopefully.
But if you want to join us, head to iconministry.com/pilgrimage. We would love to see you there.
Yes. And thank you so much for tuning in. We're grateful for you. Check us out on social media as well. Check us out. Is that the right word? Or follow us.
All that.
Go there. We'll see you. God bless and pray for us. We're praying for you.
Bye. Bye.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.